Welcome to the Bipolar Chatterbox. My name is Cash Eugene, and I will be your host. I usually have something smart to say, like, I'll usually be your host, but I know that there's a lot of new people here today. Today is World Bipolar Day. World Bipolar Day! Sorry, that was the bipolar side coming out, maybe? No, not at all. Actually, I'm here today to help demystify some things about bipolar disorder. We're going to talk about a couple of symptoms. We're going to, you know, talk about a few tips and tricks that you can use to get out of trouble. And I also have a really good friend who is here today. She also goes through bipolar, and she has a different experience than I do. So I most certainly want to have her input. Also, I get a chance to just really talk with you guys. Oftentimes, I find myself being stifled, and we're all kind of like living pseudo quarantine lifestyles right now. So I know what it's like ahead of time before everyone got stifled. So I'm like, I'm already equipped for this. And I'm equipped because I use a podcast to help with my need for that social interaction. This actually is a surrogate from time to time, because I know for a fact that for whatever reason, this is a conversation between me and you just caught me monologuing. you just caught me on a long soapbox and you just let me go. That's what's happening right now. So thank you for your time. And to be honest, I do want to thank you for letting me share, because I'm going to do some sharing today. A good friend of mine, Miss Bethany Jones, is going to join us, and she's going to do some sharing today. And I want you guys to bring your listening hats. I'm so serious. Like, we're going to take it back to grade school. Listening hats, come on now. As we sit here and speak to you, both of us as African Americans who suffer bipolar disorder, we are basically up shit's creek without a paddle. I say that because in the Black community, this kind of discourse is not happening a lot. It's happening more, but it's not happening a lot. So I want to bring a few more of those discussions to heart. I want to bring a few more of those discussions to mind. Hence, mindful chats. So today's mindful chat is going to be basically World Bipolar Day centric. Stay tuned, guys. Let's knock this out. Let's get into it. Whatever kind of sign off it needs to be, I just said it. So guys, today we're going to do a mindful chat. Now, if you've been a fan of the show, I did a mindful chat before, and that means that I'm going to have a guest with me today. So y'all be on your best behavior, all right? Don't embarrass me in front of my friends. No. Okay, guys, the way this works, if you ever look at things that I do, I usually have like a bunch of like hidden meanings and stuff. I just think life is really clever that way. So with that being said, for those of you who have seen Mind Lab anywhere, you know that that is my endeavor in life. I want to create what I am calling the Mind Lab. This is the poor man's patent, all right? But the reason I'm telling you guys this is because as I say individual pieces of what I need, I get them. My last mindful chat, I had Miss Tiffany Banks, virtual assistant extraordinaire. After we got off the phone, or after we got off the air, we got on the phone, and then we scheduled a consultation for the following week. After about 2.5 hours, man, we had some really great ideas. And let's just say she and I will be working together in the very near future. So if you want some mindful links and gifts, that's coming very soon. That's mindfully inspired jewelry and gifts. If you know me, you know I put a lot of love and intention in anything that I create. So if I'm creating something for you, I want it to have intention. So with that being said, I'm putting my intention into the air. My Mind Lab is a mindful, innovation, neighborly discourse lab. It's a place where if you're trying to achieve those things, you can come and use our resources. Mindful. Hello, mindful. Innovative technology. New ways of looking at things. Neighborly. Come on, guys. You got to care about your neighbors. You got to care about who's next door. Social responsibility is real. Discourse. Use your voice. I want a place that celebrates this. I want a place that people know that they can come and be safe. So with that being said, I don't have, you know, that building right now. So I have the energy for it. So I've had to learn how to corral it. And if you listen to my very first podcast, I think it was on my podcast called Bipolarity. It's like a mini podcast. Check it out if you haven't heard it. I talked about a power station that I kind of was like trying to build. A power station that allowed me to give you guys a renewable source of energy. I was trying to identify what that energy was at the time. All I knew was I had to harness it. So I just knew to build the bricks around, you know, the energy that I had found out in the wilderness. And so as I started to realize what the energy was, I am able to give it to you in bits and pieces. And then once I have a physical building, you'll be able to see and touch it. So, no, that was a mouthful. But for those of you who are visionaries, I am here to show you. I'm here to tell you here on World Bipolar Day. Yeah, I guess it got a ring to it. I'm just trying to show you guys that you can live life on your own terms. On your own terms, my friends. Not on bipolar's terms. If you can get yourself together, if you can do tips or if you can do things to take care of the symptoms, it's like an octopus. You know, if they got a strangle on you, if you can get each and every one of those legs off, the octopus is off. If you can get each and every symptom off of you, bipolar is not ruling you. So in my mindful chats, I'm just giving you guys an example, kind of how I do things that kind of flow through. Sorry, kind of started rambling. Hey, I'm the chatterbox. I have a lot of endeavors. I have a lot of things to do. And my Mind Lab will be a place where that happens. So having mindful chats is something that we can do in the meantime. Essentially, these are people that I will be working with. These are people that are, you know, visionaries, people who are entrepreneurs, people who are part of the mental health community in one way or the other, whether it be as an advisor, as a support network, as a sufferer, as a person who has lived experience, as a person who just has some of the symptoms. All these kind of individuals are allowed to have mindful chats. Because I have discussions, guys, with everyone. They don't call me the bipolar chatterbox for nothing. They just called me the chatterbox for a long time. And then when they figured out that I was bipolar, that kind of happened. And then whatever, I kind of owned it when I made my podcast name, the Bipolar Chatterbox. Anyway, moving forward, I talk to everyone, yet sometimes it's kind of hard to hold on to the essence of what that conversation had in it. So rather than try to duplicate it, there are times where, hey, you know what? Let's just have it live. So any mindful chat is usually a live one. Of course, you know, there's some editing that happens, you know, as far as, you know, my portion before and after. But when we actually speak, I like to have one conversation. All the world's a stage and every man and woman has his parts. I come from the theater. Life is dramatic for me. It just is. So let me have this. Since you're listening, I'm going to give you a treat. because it's World Bipolar Day and you guys are listening to me ramble, Miss Bethany, who is coming on the show, she has some really great insight and she's helping me with a project that is going to be unveiled the month of May. So May 1st through May 31st, expect some things coming from me and the bipolar community. Okay. I'm working on something very, 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 very lovely, very big. And I just want to put it out there that if you have something, if you have an idea where I'm at, whether that be a digital space, whether that be physically in Atlanta, wherever I'm at, it's not only a safe space, it is a creative thinking space. I do beat it, jury. And when I go into, say, Joanne's, I'm talking to everyone, you know. Oh, wow. Hey, I love your bracelet. Wow. How do you do that jump ring there? Wow. Oh, my God. Where do you get your stones from? You know, I have a hard time. You know, actually, I go here. Dot, dot, dot. That's me. All right. But that realm of creativity is always sparked. And it's beautiful when I see people living in their element. So I always try to foster that in the conversation that I have. It can be a little much sometimes. So this is where I get a chance to handle one of my symptoms, which is loquaciousness. Dictionary defines loquaciousness as, damn, he keep talking. All those memes. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, that was usually for people like me until I figured out how to like catch the signs right before. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, yeah, bro, that's crazy. Yeah, yeah. Huh? What? What? I learned that actually my poor little wife, what do you think she goes through? So, guys, just coming here, getting a chance to blabber with y'all from time to time is really good. It's really good because for whatever reason, it works for me. And my mission is to help other people out there doing other things. If any of you have ever seen the movie with George Clooney, I think it had poor reviews, but it was Tomorrowland. Essentially, it was a panel of scientists and engineers, and it was bring us your inventions. If you like it, we'll sponsor you and help you to perfect it, so on and so forth. And I thought that would be such an amazing idea for the world of psychology. So during my entire undergrad, I was my undergraduate of psychology. I was really looking at ways to apply my psychology degree. And so as I started to learn that I liked to be in the field, I like touching people. Not right now, because I ain't trying to catch the COVID, but I'm talking about touching people in a way where as a bartender, I get a chance to talk to you like no one else does. That's a privileged place to be, guys. Like, not everyone can be someone who can listen to others, hold their trust, and help them if need be. I have a knack for it, so I decided to chisel that by going to do some life coaching, things like that. So as I'm learning to take care of my own bipolar health, which is going very well, by the way, guys. Lots of ups and downs, but it's going very well. As I'm learning to take care of my bipolar health, take care of my family, take care of my legacy, I'm learning the steps and I'm writing them down. All right, I'm not writing so much. I'm more talking them down. But I'm also putting them in my artwork, in my jewelry work, you know, so definitely check that out, guys. You know, we're in rough times right now. So this is actually something that no matter what, the boat is not going to stop. We're steaming ahead, you know. So, I mean, I know the world is looking scary, but I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. And I want you to reach that level as well. Genuine being not afraid, not just being, you know, grandiose, just not being, you know, really brave or really foolish. I don't want you having a false sense of security. I want you to have real tools. I want you to have something that you can tangibly have. So before Miss Bethany comes onto this mindful chat, because this is World Bipolar Day, and because I'm feeling really, really good right now, I want to give you guys a few tips, a few tricks, and they're really quick. Tip number one, Stay away from the clock. I don't know how many of you guys can basically know what time it is at all times. But if you have that, then you know what I'm talking about when I say stay away from the clock. You know what? That might have been too complicated. How about this? Anyone got that one coworker who's like, oh man, it's 107. We got, 40-odd minutes, before we can, 53 minutes before we can leave. I had to do my math. Had to do a math check. My kid's going to hear this one day. I had to do a math check. But everyone has that one coworker. And I'm the guy who's like, please don't tell me the time. Because now I can count down the minutes. If you told me it's like 53 minutes, I can count. Hey, I've been doing this for 5 minutes. That's going to take me 3.5. That's going to be a minute. Like it happens in my head and it starts to get out of control. One way to stop that is to get away from the clock. One thing that works for me well is an hourglass. Yes, I said it, an hourglass. And why am I telling you this? Because I also need someone to build something for me. So if you're listening to this and you're crafty, I need an hourglass based off of a Pomodoro timer. KAS, CAS, at legatumlink.com. This is my email. Legatum, LEGATUM. This is the digital age. You guys can easily find me. But if you can make this, I need it because of this. When I flip my hourglass, I see how much time has passed. Kinda. I can't say exactly how much time has passed, but I can't say exactly how much time I have left before it's over neither. So it's kind of like a visual reminder of, hey, you should either speed up your work or slow it down. So if you're trying to effectively get some projects done, one thing that works is a Pomodoro timer. Pomodoro, I think, is like fancy for tomato. But if you look this up on your phones, it's an app. If I'm not mistaken, hey, I'm winging this one. I'm sorry, guys, if I get it wrong. It'll tell you to work for like 25 minutes, take off 5 minutes, work another 25, off of five. Like, it's just like a back and forth kind of schedule. And then, like, you take 15 minutes off, whatever. For whatever reason, it's really complicated when I try to say it like that. But if you have an hourglass, it can help with the timing of it. For me personally, I want I like stuff on my wall. I'm a very tall guy. I'm 6'4". Keep that in mind. I want a big old, picture frame that has a bunch of hourglasses in it, particularly five. Specifically five. Improve that vocabulary. I need five in there. I forget the dimensions or how many there were. I should have wrote it down. But it's literally like a 1 hour, a 30 minute, 15, five, like that sort of thing. So I can create not only a Pomodoro environment, but I can also, time other tasks around my house. When I need to clean the kitchen, I can dedicate an hour. We're good. Moving right along, we have another tip for you. When I say we, I'm talking about me and the bipolar side. there's no one else here, guys. I'm not having hallucinations. I promise. Once you get off the clock, you like that? Once you get off the clock, one thing you can really do, one tip you can really utilize and take advantage of is meditate. Like J. Cole said, it ain't gonna be the most popular lifestyle change, but meditate. There are so many resources now that back up what I'm saying, but meditation works. I think if you was to put the blood pressure machine on someone and they were to meditate, like their heart rate kind of slows down. So what I'm saying to you is meditate. You know what? If you don't believe me, how about this? Let me read it in an excerpt for you from the book, The Tao of Bipolar, or The Tao, depending on how you're pronouncing it. Subtext, using meditation and mindfulness to find balance and peace. This is a book by C. Alexander Simpkins. This is going to be a resource that I add on my Instagram. If you ever need to know like what kind of books I'm using, what kind of things I'm using as like resources, one of the easier ways sometimes is just to see how I live my life. And one of the ways I do that is by showing, you know, interesting books like this. So if you will allow me, I want to tell you why meditation is important. But not only that, for those of you who don't believe that you will find your way, like if you was to meditate, you feel like you will be lost. This is why I like this book. Because it says in really big letters right now, what this book offers. This is in the intro. This book offers hope. Period. Done. I could put the book down and walk away. This book offers hope. How many of you guys out there need hope right now? So I was in the Navy. I was on a warship, you know, multiple ones, you know, big old aircraft carrier to an itty bitty submarine. I know what it's like to be in close quarters for a long period of time. So when I tell you that when you lose hope, right, when you need some hope, how about this? If you just need some hope and you can't get it, I didn't have access to like, where do you get your hope from, guys? A lot of you guys, I belong to a bipolar support group on Facebook, a couple of them. But on the ship, you can only get Facebook for like an hour. And then it's like dial-up speeds when you're out to sea. So it's like you can't rely on that. Where do you find your hope from? I say you find your hope from within. So to continue, this book offers hope. It helps you to restore your faith in yourself. It gives you a clear path to follow. And it helps you develop your talents and express them realistically and effectively in the world. Using meditation allows your experience to become your teacher. That's the trick, guys. Let the experience be the teacher. Meditate. I'm not sitting here telling you all of this because I read all of this in some book. Raise your hand if you think that everything I've told you today came from a book. Not the last part, of course. But I mean my life experience. The things that I've been through with the bipolars. How many of y'all seen that in a book somewhere? Verbatim. If you've seen it, then you probably have been watching The Magicians season 2 when they went to the library and they had the book of everyone's life. So, excuse me. Moving on to the next and final tip. People like threes, so we'll keep it at three. There are many different supplements you can take to help with the neurological pathways and the different actual somatic or the physical symptoms of bipolar disorder. Sometimes a panic attack needs to be calmed down. Using hydroxyzine, other medications make you sluggish, stuff like that. So sometimes you just need a holistic approach to things. And there are many supplements that exist out there. But one thing I use something called Focus Serum. Now, my wife got this for me. She can tell you more about it. I'm not going to go into that today. But I use Focus Serum, use it a couple times a day. Because when it comes to the medications that I take, it does make you confused. So taking supplements can sometimes alleviate some of the side effects. You don't always have to get onto another medication to take care of another problem. Melatonin, really good for sleep. Ginkgo biloba, really good for memory. Now, when it comes to that, you got to do like a check. You know, just because it's an herb doesn't mean it won't hurt you. So, ginkgo biloba is one you got to be careful with depending on the medications that you're on. I think lamotrigine is one of the medications that ginkgo biloba does not work well with. So, make sure you talk to your pharmacist. Your psychiatrist knows some things, but I've learned that your pharmacist knows way more about drug interactions and your body. So, if you have a pharmacist friend, they're probably at work right now fighting the COVID-19 and no one's taking care of them. But, you know, when they do get some time off, ask them, you know, or, you know, ask your professional about some of the drug interactions with ginkgo biloba. I can tell you one thing, and I can't remember why I know this. No St. John's wort. No, cut it out. Like, that is a red line in my memory. I need to find out why. I can't remember the exact interaction, but that is a no-no. I see it in a lot of literature, and I went to go see what St. John's wort does. Whatever it does, it doesn't bother me or it doesn't affect me because I just kind of threw it out of my mind. But I kept seeing, do not use St. John's wort. Okay, I'll just pass that along. So guys, until I find out more about that, stay tuned. But my third tip is to use supplements if you need to alleviate some problems that you're having, point blank period. So keeping with the spirit of World Bipolar Day, I'm going to bring, after much, much ado, I'm going to bring an old time friend of mine's, Miss Bethany Jones, to the Bipolar Chatterbox family. I'm going to bring her here today because she has a lived experience that really tells the story of what it means to be bipolar. And she's like living to tell the story as well. A big portion of the Bipolar Chatterbox's mission is to create a community. You see, the Bipolar Chatterbox is only one facet of my company. Yes, I do a podcast, but I'm not necessarily a podcaster. Like, I would love for this to like take off and go viral, and maybe I had to quit my job just to do this because the money is just rolling in and it's just so delicious. Money, yeah. Cow's money, yeah. But being serious here, I actually don't have endeavors to be super famous because of a podcast. This is a record for me. This is a journal that I'm allowing y'all to see inside of. Of course, I have my own personal journal, so don't worry. There are things. Imagine this. As much as I'm telling you, especially like with the personal stuff, there are things like, good God, like if he's telling us this, what's in the backstory? You know, like what things does he keep for himself? Because that's something you got to do for yourself, guys, is keep something for yourself. And I didn't mean to give y'all another tip, but you know what? That is one, actually, is keep something for yourself, like a totem, whether it be physical, whether it be mental, a memory. Hold on to something. If you find yourself in one of those situations, and you know what I mean, in one of those situations where your whole life is about to change based on your next words, based on your next action, a need for you guys to have something, and having a totem works. If you believe in crystals, keep one in your pocket. If you believe in whatever, no, your cross, if you have a tattoo with an apostrophe on it, whatever your totem is that reminds you of something that is happy and good for you, hold on to that. So, now that we don't got all serious, let me break the ice by bringing my goofy ass friend, Miss Bethany Jones. Guys, after this quick commercial break, we're going to get to it. It can be hard supporting a friend. It can be even harder supporting a friend with a mental illness. That's why I created Mindful Links. Mindful Links gives you the ability to give aromatherapy and ease of mind right within arm's reach. With just 1 to 2 drops of essential oils, you can experience a sense of calm and ease that sometimes is hard fought and hard won. I guarantee you, your friend will appreciate you. Head over to legatumlink.com and see what all the fuss is about. That's Legatum Link, LEGATUM, link.com. I'll see you over there.
Intro, 1, 2, 1, 2.
What's up, Miss Bethany? How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good. Guys, we have Miss Bethany Jones joining the Chatterbox family today.
I'm glad I didn't want to use an alias or something.
I know, right? Because you know, we business people, so we can use our first and last. But you got something to hide?
I don't know. I got more.
Warrants? What the hell of that before this airs? I'm just saying. So,
Oh, man.
how are you doing today, by the way? You staying safe? Everybody's doing good?
Yeah, we really are. And I'm taking it as seriously as I can without like losing myself.
No,
But
I understand. No, definitely.
I'm getting a lot of rest. I got a lot of things going on, so I'm excited. I mean, I'm grateful to be at home and grateful to be able to be at home. So, yeah.
No, I definitely understand it. So, guys, you're probably wondering what is Miss Bethany doing here today? For one, I was looking at her Journal to Journey blog about the COVID-19. It was a really nice, pretty infographic that you have up there, and it's really like some quick, concise facts, and I really like that. But other than that, Miss Bethany, she's also part of the bipolar family, just like me, just like some of you guys listening right now. She's gone through a life where many of the symptoms that we just talked about, they've affected her, not just as words on a sheet of paper, but as real flesh and blood memories and life experiences that change and shape who you are. So, Miss Bethany, we want to hear the other side of the coin, if there were. My listeners get a chance to hear from me all the time. But I love getting a chance to get an opposing view, or at least a different voice, that is speaking towards the same mission, just to get a different perspective. You game?
I'm game. It would suck if I didn't listen to like all your podcasts, though.
Oh, of course.
It wouldn't be that
Well,
that
no.
different.
Well, I mean, it's like so, with us beginning, and learning our format. This is like kind of like growing on the air, and it's like a way for me to remember that these moments did exist. And that's just how I, cope and deal with things, So for what it's worth, you don't have to listen to all of them. They all pretty much stand alone, unless I said it was a part one through three. So everyone's good if you've been listening.
What's your main one? Like you sat back and was like, dang, I'm really proud of this one. I want people to hear this. Which one would that episode be?
This one right here, actually.
All right.
Yeah, for two reasons. For two reasons. Because one, I wanted a chance to clear up some things about bipolar disorder, right?
Right.
I want to kind of demystify some things. So I got a chance to do that, just talking about it. And now we're getting a chance to talk to you live to just to get an opposing view on some of those symptoms that I talked about. And so when we talk about them, we get a chance, me and you, to really affect the people who are listening because some people don't have anyone to talk to about this. So our conversation, our live conversation, could be something that someone uses as a sense of a resource. Maybe when they're talking to their doctor about different medications or different symptoms that they go through.
And I think it's a very good point to put in there is that bipolar is different and shows different and is a different experience for everybody. So there is something to learn with each person that you're talking to and not to generalize things because I know that when I first found out about my diagnosis and when the information was presented to me, it was very overwhelming. Because it's like, oh, I'm going to do this. I have all of this. Oh my gosh, what am I reading? Is this me? But just to realize that everybody is different. And just because I say something doesn't mean that that's the same for everybody. So that's always my caveat for discussions like this.
Exactly. And I usually tell my listeners, my family, people who I talk to just in general, don't let someone's advice be a substitute for getting professional advice.
Well,
And
say it again.
I'll say it again, but I gotta say it like one more time because when I say get professional help, some people are like, I mean, some people say I don't believe in therapy. I don't believe in therapists. Like some people like when they talk, it sounds so old world that it's like that mindset exists. So I'm like, you know what? Let me try to like clear some things up so people can have one stop, right? Family
Got you.
friends, family friends. Maybe you don't know how to talk about it. Maybe you need to talk to someone, and they need to hear this.
You know, so we're going to have a discussion where like all those kind of peoples can kind of come and use this resource.
I'm so game. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with getting newly diagnosed. All right. And to start, I'll just share that so I was in the military, Navy life. As you know, I think I came back to West Georgia a few times in uniform. I thought I was cool.
You sure did.
I sure did. I did that. I did that. I did that. You know, that should have told me something right there, right? No.
Wait, listen. Ooh.
No, but so after my military days, things started to kind of fall apart. And a big reason was because I didn't have the structure of the military around my everyday like doings. So now my mental health, my mental illness was able to show itself fully. And I found myself, you know, with a nice stay at the behavioral health unit, you know. Yeah, right. They give you, ooh, 3 meals a day, all the pills you could want.
A big old room to walk around in and everything.
Boy, you can walk up and down all you want to. Boy,
But
anyway.
you better be in your bed at 10:30.
Guys, even though we're making light of some things and some of you guys go through it, we've gone through it to a point where as we go forward, I just want to just caution you that we've been through it. We know that it gets better. So we can laugh now, and we want you to know that you're going to one day be able to laugh too. But there was once a day when I wasn't able to laugh, and all I was given was a sheet of paper. It says, "Hey, how can you make sure you do not come back to this mental health hospital?" The sheet of paper was a Xerox sheet of paper. It said, you know, don't isolate, don't do this, don't do that. 3 steps. That was it. One sheet of paper was supposed to keep me from going back to a mental hospital. That was how I was newly diagnosed. How was it for you?
So mine came in two forms. I first started going to EAP a long time ago. Well, not a long time ago, like
What is EAP?
employee assistant program. So different employers, some big organizations or sizable size, they have a thing called employee assistance program. And through your EAP, you can be connected with different resources to help you with your work-life balance.
Thank you.
So I called EAP and you got to run through a zillion questions. And I got a therapist, got a list of therapists, and I went to go see one. And like her first time meeting me, she says, "Oh, well, you might be bipolar." And I was like, "Well, you don't even know me for real, for real." And there she said, "Well, we'll have a couple of more sessions." And I didn't even finish out with her. But there was criteria, and I never knew what the criteria was. And so after I stopped going to her, I was just like, well, I'm not going to look it up because if I look it up, then I'm probably going to project what it is, on the internet. I'm a WebMD myself. So I stopped going to therapy, and then I went through a very big depressive swing 2 years ago, well, a year and a half ago. And my manager pulled me to the side and she said, "Girl, you might want to call EAP." So I did. And I had still not heard from those people, not
Really?
EAP, but I had a list of therapists.
Oh,
And I called out, different therapists, like,
I
"Hey,
believe it.
I
I
need
believe
help."
it.
And I still have not heard back from them.
I believe it.
So I had to search, and I found a really good program down here that has both psych and talk therapy. And after a couple of visits, she's like, "Yeah, you are bipolar." And after that, that's when I first was diagnosed. And it still took me some time. It took me a whole year to even embrace or be able to say out loud that I am bipolar.
No, it takes a while. It takes a while. And that's where I kind of wanted to start. Being newly diagnosed with this kind of disorder, like it kind of hides right under the skin. So you can't really see it unless you're paying attention. And I feel like a lot of people aren't paying enough attention, not just to others, but even to themselves. You know,
And
so
I think I would contradict you right there. I to me personally, I think that we just don't know enough to know to pay attention. We've hidden that as a society, hidden things underneath the rug. So I don't know that sleeping all the time is a sign of depression.
Okay.
I just know that I'm always sleepy.
You know what?
So I thought that was me.
I don't see that as a contradiction. I see that as a cause of the reason of what I just said. So
yeah,
thank you. I didn't take it to the next level, y'all. And this is why we have these moments, man. So when you're newly diagnosed, one of the first things you got to get over is the stigma. And I say that like cutting through the meat here, like getting right to the point, you got to get over the stigma because you won't take anything seriously as far as your medication, your lifestyle changes. Like these things they need to be implemented for life. So you have to accept your stigma. And I thought I did for a long time, but I actually was like I could never say it. I was always trying to find another word for it. Like I was a manic depressive, man, stuff like that, you know? I don't know if you can hear all that siren in the background, but I am in Atlanta. So.
Oh no.
Yeah.
No, I didn't hear any of that. So you're good. Your sound quality is great.
Nice. It's good to know. But no, go ahead.
Yep.
Okay, no, okay,
guys. Train of thought.
Yeah, you went the only one. The guys, this is why we need soundproofing in the booth. But to start over, I guess, if you will, being newly diagnosed and when you have to accept the stigma, it's really a difficult thing to do when you're trying to beat around the bush. Essentially, is what I'm trying to say.
The more that you hide or the more that you try to run from that,
yeah,
the more you are doing damage to yourself. I think Charlemagne says it all the time that if you own your truth, nobody can hold it against you. Mm. If I am true to myself, then you can't tell me that I'm, you know, I can't be hurt by your words or by your opinions or anything else because I know who and what I am. So right. If I am okay with being bipolar, then I know I got to take my medicine. If not, then don't send me back.
No, please don't send me back. But you know what? Here's something. If you need to go back, go back.
And I'm going to stop joking. I say that jokingly.
Uh-huh.
When I say my time inside was something that I embraced while I was in there, I said, I'm going to soak up as much as possible. But that was because I had already accepted the fact that I was there.
Gotcha.
And so after that, it was just, okay, it's an experience all in its own. Not something that, you know, you volunteer. It's not something that you want to do. But if you need to, it's there. And it's a great, great, great resource if you need it. And you can't be scared to ask for help because that's, you know, the last resort.
You know, when it comes to last resorts and help, one of the things I want to do is again make this a quick resource for people. So in that spirit, one thing, the reason I have you here is I want to throw out a few tips and tricks that I've learned, okay, along the way, and I want to see how they register with you.
Okay.
And also, I want to hear some of your tricks because I know you do things a little differently than me.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. All right. One. I always. Like I have a million projects, like a million projects. And I think that should be symptom number one of bipolar disorder is you're going to run around and do a million things and not complete any of them.
Any of it.
So when it says restlessness on the sheet of paper, that's what that means. It means you're going
to 2 o'clock in the morning.
No, don't even start there. So what I've been doing lately is I use this app called Trello.
Okay.
Are you familiar with Trello?
I am. I use Asana.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I am not familiar with that one, but I've heard of it. But the way Trello's working for me is when I have a project, I kind of make a category for it. You know, I have, you know, my entrepreneur things, you know, I have my bracelets, I have aromatherapy, I have life coaching, I have a few different things that spread out, including the podcast. So when I have different ideas that jump out at 3 in the morning, I need a way for them to be consolidated in one place. Otherwise, I start running into that panic of I've missed something. I forgot something. So with Trello, I put it all into one category, and then I can put action notes. I can, you know, if I had to call somebody, if I had to, you know, research something, I could like tag pictures, audio files, all in one place. And it has saved me from needing to have sheets of paper all over my house. How do you, how does that register with you as a fix? You know, like when it comes to all that restlessness and project management, what do you do?
OMG. So I have sticky notes on my wall. I actually got a whiteboard because I saw somebody else have a whiteboard in their room with their life plan on it. So I got my whiteboard. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Yes. So, but what I really am doing right now is using my passion planner. Mm-hmm. I would love to say that I am getting my $35 a month out of Asana. I'm not. I am actually doing more on my passion planner and my Google calendar than anything. So
really?
At the beginning of the month, I write down the things that I know I needed to get done. So like one was launching the website. And then each week I assigned tasks off that. So I'm saying, oh, today I'm going to do my logo. So I went and did my logo. Wednesday, I'm going to do my taxes. Mm-hmm. I added dates to it. And that's really been helping me actually
and
see
that's
it
how
because
you do
I'm
it.
More visualized. And I can just cross it out and it looks good at the end of the week when I see that I was productive. Right.
And that's two things that, especially like when I was going through my certification process for life coaching stuff, it was make a list for things, like actually write it out so you can cross it out.
Oh, yeah.
Like
crossing it out is like so fun.
And it's not, I used to like write it down, but I would never cross it out. You know, but once I started being able to do that, like, hey, let me actually do this thing that I wrote down. And once I did it and once I crossed it, it's something about once you just cross it out, it just feels better, right?
It does. It does. But, you know, that's why journaling is one of my coping skills. Nice segue.
Nice segue. Journaling is one of your skills. Do tell me more.
Coping skills. One good thing about being in the house is that I get to enhance all these coping skills that I learned inside. So journaling, working out, taking a walk, gardening, these are all things that you do to take your mind out of your head and into something productive. So I've seen like all the shot challenges. I, you know, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, last year ago, I would have been in there with the tequila shot. So
right.
Everybody, I'm so proud. I have not had any tequila during the quarantine.
Oh, okay, no quarantinis. Okay.
All right. Celebrate your victories. So, coping skills. Journaling is my coping skill, and writing things out and having it come to fruition and manifesting it feels so wonderful. And that's one of the things that I like about writing.
You know, keeping with the segue, you mentioned gardening. You know, when I was in the Navy, of course, you're on a Navy ship, you're out to sea for 8 months. And the things that you are allowed to do, things that you can do, you know, I got military buddies listening right now. And they're like, they can't do no gardening right now. But from time to time, they'll let you fish off the back of the ship. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to find those little slices of happiness where you can. You know, you really do. And it's like, for me, it is gardening. I'm actually going to put up online, like I made a story of, I have this aversion to writing. So I write the story through like my pictures and my jewelry work. So I had to go to my garden because I was quarantined. I was stressing out. So I went there, had to I had like a bunch of weeds. It was like the first time going to the garden for the season. I'm thinking I'm about to just do some work. I'm going to take some cool pictures like, oh, okay, this is how I started. This is how I ended. But it became so much more. I started finding plants that had grew from last year alive. So I decided to save them. And I found some buckets and stuff. I have a community garden. I decided to save them. They had seedlings, things like that. And I'm like, what to do with all these things? People were walking by. I just started giving them to people because I knew how big and pretty that these, it was Asiatic lilies, that they grow. And when they bloom, it's once per year or once per season, but it's like the most beautiful colors that you've ever seen. And I'm like, let's just give this out. And then
you had me at social distancing.
No, of course I did it at by distancing. Hey,
okay.
Come on now. Like, all right, if you want to know the actual, hey, do you want a lily? Yeah, that's cool. All right, I sat it on the sidewalk, walked back to my garden, they walked over and picked it up. Okay, there we go. Social distancing. Come on now. There's no touching. But with that being said, guys, do wash your hands, do social distance, all that good stuff. But back to us, I want to get back to you and journaling because looking at your blog, you know, we can talk about your business and whatnot, but I want to talk about your blog, you know, because a lot of people, some people don't listen to podcasts, but some people, they will read a blog. You know, tell us more about your blog.
I wanted to touch on what you said about writing, because everybody is different. Don't just say I'm journaling. That's one thing about my journal parties. It's not just journaling. I can write a note on my phone. I can send an email. I can do a voice recording. I can stomp my toes and write it in the sand and wish it away like in the sand. So it's just getting it out. What that was beautiful when you said you get your expression through art and et cetera, through visual instead of writing. That's perfect because you got it because it works for you. So journaling, my blog, is going to be just telling different things that are helping me. So the things that I've been writing, the things that I found through my writing. One thing is I am learning more about myself. After my diagnosis, I got to one website, bphope.com.
Yes.
It was so great, but I flipped out because I put myself in it in everything.
Gotcha.
And so I had to stop. And now I am at a point of stability where I can ask myself questions and find out what I really feel about different things of myself, like what is my favorite color? Red. I'm asking because that's how you find out about yourself.
Now, pause right there. I want to touch on the reason why Bethany is here, guys, is because when I found BP Hope, when I found it a few years ago, I found there was an author, Julie Fast. There's another author, a PhD, that goes along with the book, I forget. But she has a book called Loving Someone with Bipolar Disorder. And it changed my life. But I never would have found it if I hadn't had BP Hope. And I never would have found BP, or I never would have stayed on BP Hope if they hadn't talked to me in a way that I understood. BP Hope was a beacon for me. So I, in return, want to be a beacon for others by using the Bipolar Chatterbox, Legatum Link, et cetera, et cetera.
Journal to journal blog,
because now we're creating a community that people can communicate in different ways. That's why you're here. I wanted you to, like, just, people want the credibility of who you are before they will go down your journey to see what's going on, right?
Right.
You know, but let's just say, y'all, guys, Miss Bethany has a very rich backstory, right? It has every element of an opera involved.
It does.
And for you to annotate and write down and to keep it going, you know, in a way of people can learn the lesson from what you've been through, I want my listeners to be able to reach out and support your mission as well.
And coming from the blog, there will be posts about my story, how I'm identifying myself through my story, redefining myself, and finding that plateau of stability. Mm-hmm. I haven't reached it fully, but, you know, I'm on my way up. But that's what's going to be in the blog, how I got through it, what actually happened, the passing of Liz, work, the last 10 years of my life that I don't remember, but have been retold to me in different ways. Mm-hmm. There are things that I missed out on in my diagnosis and during my depressive episodes. That's one thing that I want people to take advantage of, is I can't get my time back with my daughter. Mm-hmm. Had I had the help that I have now, then I would have been able to appreciate the last couple of her months of her life and more fully than I did. Yeah. So things like that are things that are going to be coming in the blog. How I navigate with reconciling relationships. That's one thing that, being bipolar, you don't realize what is actually being perceived by the world. Yeah. Your world and your reality is totally different.
Oh my God, yes.
Than everyone else's. And so sometimes you take for granted certain opportunities and friendships and relationships that you will have to reconcile after you accept the fact that you are, that you are at fault at some things. And then sometimes you're an innocent bystander, how you're going to forgive and how you're going to move forward. That stuff is coming in the blog. So it's going to be different resources. It's going to be very real and very candid, because that's how I am. And a lot of jokes.
Yeah, no, I would expect nothing less. I would expect nothing less. Ms. Bethany, I just want to thank you so much for sharing that. You know, your journey so far on the air, man, that takes courage. And I thank you for that.
Well, thank you. I keep hearing about the fact that I'm very transparent. And mm-hmm. I don't know if that, I don't know where that comes from. But since I am, people have identified and appreciated. And that's something that is genuine and sincere to me, is being transparent with my story in hopes that it helps somebody else.
You know what? I know it will help somebody else. I know that for a fact, because that's why I'm here. Mm. That's why I'm sharing stories like this, because, oh man, I don't share this one too openly, but there was a point in my life where, you know, I was homeless, mm-hmm. and I had to seek out veteran services. And I went to the little spot. I had to talk to the counselor. And the first thing he asked me is, what brings you here? You know, like, I mean, clearly it's homelessness, you know, da da da. But what brings you to this situation? Mm-hmm. And I was fired up on the inside. I was like, to be real, I'm bipolar. Like, and that was it. Like, I was like, I had an attitude. I, you feel me? I had an attitude. And he's like, yeah, me too. I've been bipolar for like 40 years now. And I just broke. Like, he didn't even like say it. Like, as a matter of fact, he was just like, it's okay, brother. Like, I've been bipolar 40 years. And I'm looking at this guy, shirt tucked in, you know, government job, you know, seems to have, you know, nails clipped. He had pictures of his family up around. And I'm like, so many questions. How do you live this life? What do you need to do?
How did you get there?
And I knew for a fact I couldn't ask all the questions at once. And so it just came out as tears. That is it. And he just sat there, let me have my moment, cleaned up. We went right into business. Didn't even have to acknowledge it. And at the end, he was more like, bro, you're good. You're going to make it. And I did, right? Because of that situation. Because somebody was open enough to share what they had been through. Mm. So thank you again so much for sharing your story.
Thank you for doing the same.
That's what's up. All right, guys. Journal to Journey. We're going to post all the links so you can get in touch with Miss Bethany on the website. I'm sorry, on the post on my website, all that good stuff. Follow me on Instagram, Castologist, Bipolar Chatterbox on Facebook. Miss Bethany, how can they find you on Instagram real quick?
You can find me at Journal the Journey on Instagram. On Twitter, it is journal.to.journey because somebody took it. And you can find me on Facebook, Journal to Journey. My website is www.ashantieelizabeth.com. And that's where the Journal to Journey blog is. And I want to say so much that I appreciate you. And I love for people to reach out and talk. I'm very friendly. Don't believe what you hear. I'm only irritable before coffee. God.
Oh, man. So what you're saying is they should bring you a coffee and you're fine.
And I'm fine.
There we go. Well, Bethany, thank you so much for stopping in today, okay?
Okay. You guys have a great day.
Hey, and you stay safe and you stay well out there, okay?
You too.
All right. Peace.
Bye.
All right, guys. That was Miss Bethany. I sure had a good time. I hope that on this World Bipolar Day, I showed you a little bit of what being connected can do. She's an entrepreneur. I'm an entrepreneur. You know, we both got our day jobs. You know, we're both finding ways to blend our bipolar disorder with our everyday lives and make it work. So as I leave you today, I want to remind you of just one thing. Just one thing. You are bigger than your disorder. It is a part of you. It is not who you are. If you're having trouble with that, reach out. My line is usually open, but reach out. If not to me, to someone. If you're coming from the Facebook bipolar disorder groups, you know, if you guys are coming from support groups, if you guys are coming from the mental hospital, it doesn't matter. This is a safe place. This will grow. Everything that I try to do is about growth, and this will grow. And as it grows, I want that to be proof in the pudding that you can be bipolar and still win. You don't have to just survive. You can thrive. You can thrive. So today we're going to have a quick reflection hour. I want you to just jam out, rock out, just relax and think about some of the things we talked about today. And again, I just want to thank Ms. Bethany for stopping by. And guys, I'm Cass. You're listening to the Bipolar Chatterbox. Have a great, great day. When I first became a life coach, the very first question that a bipolar client asked me was, how do I maintain financial stability while being bipolar? I did not have an answer for her then. I have an answer for her now. You look deep within, find your passion, and use that to propel yourself to a new level of being. Sounds like it's too much? Got you. Well, I have a dream, guys. I have a dream about a way to give you guys a renewable sense of mental health energy without taxing myself. I do that through the tools of aromatherapy, through essential oils and lava rocks and the diffusion technology that the brain automatically registers. I give to you beautiful, beautiful bracelets that will not only harmonize your body and soul together, but it'll keep you remindful of the mission that you've already set for your day. With just 1 to 2 drops of essential oils, you will be on your way to being a more mindful individual every single day. Let's change the stigma from within.